And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Just think if we had left at 12. It's amazing. It is no secret what God can do. The way the songs worked out, because I want us to look this morning at not just what God has done, but what man has done, especially lately. You see, in the illustration God tried to teach us about his son, he set up the sanctuary system. And when the temple was built, there were three compartments. There was the courtyard where you would go and you would sacrifice. And then every day they would have six interns, so to speak, people who were going to work their way up to be scribes, Pharisees, Sanhedrin, interns. They would have six of them because it would take three on each door. And every day they would do the sacrifice in the courtyard, and then six men it would take to open these huge doors. And the priest, not the people, the priest. I had somebody leave the church one time because they asked me to pray. And I said, you don't need me. You can go to God. Yeah. They said, but you're the shepherd. I said, no, I'm not. I'm just the sheepdog. I said, you know what sheepdogs do? They nip at the heels of the sheep to get them back to the shepherd. Yeah. But the priest, after six of his underlings would open the doors, he would take the blood, and there was this veil, and he would sprinkle some blood on the veil. Every day, every morning, every evening, blood on the veil. Now, they didn't have zips back then to get things dry clean. So every day, blood would be put on that veil. So every day when you walked by the temple, you go, see, we have the privilege of going to stores and doing the pickups. And one of the privilege Rocky knows, especially, that's why we send you to courthouse. You go by that dumpster. And especially in the summertime, it's, you've heard of evening in Paris. Well, this is afternoon in Fredericksburg. Yeah. The stench from that temple. Oh, it was gorgeous on the outside. Solid gold doors. But when you walked by, ah, the stench from the blood day after day after day. And then once a year, the priest would go through the veil. And as he went through the veil, nobody knows how, but the blood would disappear off the curtain. And he would go into the third compartment, the Holy of Holies. And we hear about that veil. And you say, what does that have to do with the church in our day? Stick with me here. Yeah, as Rush Limbaugh says, I know where my sentence is going. Yeah. In Psalms, I guess I should give you some of these texts beforehand, Jay, but he changes them on me so often, Psalm 24. This is God talking. Or the angel Gabriel. But he's doing it through the psalmist here. And in Psalm 24, verse 7. See, this is a picture of actually, you know, when the second coming happens and we go transported up, it says, and we who are alive and remain are caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That doesn't mean we're already there. It means we're on our way. But before we get there, this is what one of the angels go ahead and they get the call back. Lift up your heads, you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. Six people to open them. Then the King of Glory will come in. Who? This is what the angels do, people. Because, see, one goes ahead, but the others are with us. And they call back in holy mischief. Who is this King of Glory? As if they didn't know. I mean, think about it. People say dumb things all the time. I went to Bob's funeral. Did he die? No, we were just having a dry run. They say that's what the angels are doing. Who is this King of Glory? And you're going, wait a second, you were just with us. You don't know who you were traveling with? Now, some of us may forget, but I'll guarantee you they didn't forget. They just love to hear. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Rise up, ancient doors. The King of Glory will come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Flip forward, because this is where churches preach. I'm in Matthew. I guess it would be nice to let Jay know where I am. See, I know where I'm going, and if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So let me tell you where we're going. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to be looking at verses 50 and 51. Because this is where we concentrate. Jesus shouted again with a loud voice, and gave up. Notice he didn't die. He gave up the spirit. I will lay down my life and I will pick it up again. Suddenly, the curtain of the sanctuary was split in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. But who would know it? Who would ever know that? And why wouldn't they know it? Merle, you may remember Ray Price had a song, I think it was, Behind Closed Doors. See, the veil was rent, but the doors were closed. And churches preach all the time. But the veil was rent, that opened up a way to God. No, it didn't. It opened up if the doors were open. If the doors were open. See, the doors were called the doors to the holy place. Because you had the courtyard, the holy place. Two gold doors to the holy place. And then you had the veil to the Holy of Holies. Let me tell you something, people. churches will always let you get to God if you can get through the holy place. Now, they don't say it that way. Here's how they say it. We have standards here. You're going to have to stop. I did a wedding years ago. I didn't know what I was in for. It was a biker wedding. And I wore jeans and a t-shirt, and I was overdressed. And this couple had lived together 26 years, had 5 children, and weren't married. And a friend of mine, Big Jim was his name, he said, "Do you do weddings?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, I have some friends that would like to get married." So I went over to visit them. And I said, "You have 5 kids. You know, what's the normal? You have 5 kids together. What's the problem?" He said, "Oh, we tried, but nobody would ever marry us." I said, "What?" "Yeah." They said, "Well, they would. But they told me," the man says to me, he says, "they told me I had to move out first because it's a sin to live together." I'm going, "You have 5 kids." Yeah, I didn't say that out loud, but I'm thinking. And they said, "So they told me I had to move out for 30 days and then they'd do the wedding." Doors closed. See, you can get into God, but it's through us. You know, keep the doors closed. You have to do this. You have to stop this. You have to start this. Doors closed. Not the door, the veil's rent. But churches keep the doors closed. So I went to do the wedding. And, you know, I had catered weddings when I was in high school, probably from 7th grade on. And there's a lot of drinking at weddings, at the reception. This was the first one I had ever seen where they didn't wait for the reception. Everybody was holding adult beverages. And as the ceremony was going on, they were going, "Yeah!" Yeah. And after the service, they said, the groom came over, he says, "Your church doesn't know you're here, do they?" I said, "No." He said, "I thought so." He said, "Because if they did, I could go to a church like that." See? So what was the problem? What happened here? It says the veil was rent. The way to God was open, but the doors were still closed. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says the doors were open. Nowhere. And so churches, see, it's what we're watching go on now. If you don't know anything about history, guess what you're due? You're doomed to repeat it. So you need to know history. So I didn't go, yeah, I looked in the Bible. I'm thinking to myself, what good is the Holy of Holies being open if I can't even get to the holy place? What good is it to tell me I need to shape up? I'm here to tell you. Kay can tell you. I have a hard time shaping up. Yeah. I've heard a rumor that the gyms are open. I haven't seen it for myself yet. I have a hard time. See, Christians have a hard time. That couple would have been married 26 years ago if they had just said, and you know what? They might have even gone to that church. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, Don said to me, he said, somebody walked in the church here, and he thought to myself, to himself, who is this? My goodness, where did he come from? It was Pastor Josh. You know, see how we judge? My son sent Kay something the other day. It said, you know the difference between people with tattoos and people without tattoos? The people with tattoos never condemn the people without them. Yeah, think about that. There's a lot of truth in that statement. Yeah. And look, yeah, well, that's okay. That's a Christian. A tattoo is a tattoo is a tattoo. See, my theory on that is it's a permanent reminder of temporary insanity. Yeah, that's my theory. But you know what? You and your buddy-to-be, you can't knock your socks off. I'm not going to close the doors by the way you look. And churches will close the doors. You know, Mr. Rogers. Remember Mr. Rogers? Wore the sweater. You know why he wore his sweater? Because he was sleeved with tattoos. He was a Navy SEAL. Or as they used to say, a hired assassin. And he's going, won't you? Would you be my neighbor? I'll kill you with my bare hands. Think about it, people. But he had to cover that up because of the way the church would keep that. He was also a Presbyterian minister. I wonder why he had a TV show instead of a church. Doors closed. Think about the Apostle Paul. What church would... What do you do for a living? Well, I kill people. Just anybody? Well, no, only Christians. I mean, historians say he was short, overweight, and unlike me, see, not very good looking. Think about it. Who's going to say, what do you do for, I hunt down people and kill them. Doors closed. How in the world are they ever going to get to the Holy of Holies if they can't get to the Holy? You can't get to the cross. And God did this. Remember, he put angels outside the garden? Let me tell you what that looked like. Maybe you've been watching the statue of Abraham Lincoln, the Emancipation Proclamation. Let me tell you the difference. Those National Guard were unarmed. The one God sets around, flaming swords. You know, flaming swords. And we used to tell people all the time, I'd rather go after a guy with a gun than somebody with a knife. Because a knife can cut anyway. Gun, Yeah, you can duck and hard to hit a moving target. Yeah, knife, it's not hard. Yeah, flaming swords. And so it says that the veil was rent. And you say, okay, God, the veil's rent, but the church won't let me in. It won't let me in. We're on the outside looking in. And that's where we want them. Because, you know, when we used to pick up that prostitute and take her to the evangelistic series in Marietta, and she walked the aisle that night and accepted Christ, and the pastor of the church leaned over and said, we don't need your kind here. See, everybody knew who she was. I wonder how he knew. Yeah, I'm just saying. Just saying. See, the veil being rent I mean, that's awesome. But if I can't get to it, and so I searched, and I looked in the Greek, nowhere in the Greek. And I looked to see if the Latin Vulgate, which was one of the first translations, not there. And I'm thinking to myself, what good is it? What good is it? I mean, if I say to Kay, we're going to Disney, there's a problem. We can't go in North Carolina. There's still a way to get there. I can go around. See? But there's no way to get around to the Vale. If the doors are closed, let me tell you something, people. The only way to Jesus, dare I say this? I believe the Bible says, how can we know unless somebody tells us? See, you're not just the 67th book. You're the door. You need to be a little more open. Yeah. But what about the temple? See, they didn't want them to know, because if they found out, just like churches, if they find out just anybody can come, then just anybody will. And you know what that means? We all become whosoever. Yeah. I mean, we just can't have anybody. I think Cher did a song. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves. I mean, that's who would have. I thought I heard someone say one time, you can check me on this, be more like the Bereans and check it out. I believe Jesus says, I didn't come to save good people. Yeah. I came to save those who are lost. And you know the only criticism, they never criticized Jesus really on anything, because they knew they had to make up something. But one true criticism they had about him, I mean, they couldn't say he didn't pay taxes, although they tried to get his tax records. So he just went fishing. But the one thing they said is he welcomes sinners and eats with them. What does he do? He welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Well, yeah. Do you mean pick your nose sin or Mary Magdalene sin? Mary Magdalene, woman at the well. You know those people who will compel you to carry their backpack a mile? He'll even heal their children and their servants. What kind of a God would do that? What kind of a God would do that? But I couldn't find it. I can't get to the veil. If I can't get to the veil, how do I get to God? So I turned away from Scripture and started looking at Jewish history. And there's a book, I wrote the thing down, called the Tractate. And in Yoma 39, the Tractate, it says, AD 70, they're writing this, which is what, 40 years after. In this history book, it says, we don't know what happened. The rabbis are reading this. We don't know what happened. But about 40 years ago, these doors that took six men to open, all of a sudden opened on their own. All of a sudden opened up on their own. And they closed them. And they started playing the hokey pokey. You put your right foot in, take your right foot out. They closed the left door, and then they closed the right door, and the right door opened, and the left door opened, and closed the right door. Closed the... And the church is still trying to close the doors. And if they can't do it on their own, they'll get government help. Who in the world can tell God, I can't worship him? A governor? Yeah. I would hope that if I ever tell you we're not having church, I come by here and there's a protest out front. Yeah. Pardon my English, Rocky. It ain't right. It ain't right to tell them. Yeah. Who is in charge here? They're just trying to close the door. Why? Because if they can keep you from getting into the holy place, they can keep you out of the presence of the living God. And once you get into the presence of the living God, let me tell you. Well, yeah, I don't have to tell you. You saw it today. Yeah. What happened up here was the presence of the living God. For goodness sake, I should have said, stand. Really? Flip-flops? Give me a break. For I know he has a tattoo, too. Now, God will still hear your prayers, but he'll go like that. He can only listen with one ear. I mean, think about it. Here's God's standard. Doors are open. I know the church wouldn't have opened them. You know why? Because they didn't want anybody to see that there was a way open to God. We have to have standards. Someone once wrote, those who say we have lowered the standards have no clue what the standard is. If you want to know what the standard is, look at Calvary. That's the standard. That's the standard. Go over to Hebrews. No, we won't go to Hebrews. Yeah, we will. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, starting with 19. I'm adjusting my glasses again. Verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for our lives, safe and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Jesus entered there on our behalf as the forerunner, because he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. We have access. See, if we are in Christ, he's already entered. We just have to be in him. And if you flip over a few pages in Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you what that is, people. Act like you belong there. The problem is when people come in church, especially if they're not like us, righteous, Yeah. If they're sinners, they come in like this. And Jesus says, humbly come to me. That's not what that says. It says, get your swag on. Come in boldly. Come in boldly, he says. Since we have boldness, I am here because I belong. This is where I belong. You know that bar you're telling me to stay? I can walk around there. I can go in that bar and everybody, you know, where everybody knows your name. Norm! Some of you have no clue what I'm talking about, but that's okay. Yeah. They all know your name. Back where I grew up, every corner, at least in South Philly. I grew up in Jersey, but you know, born in South Philly and my relatives over there. But every corner had what they called a tap room. They didn't call them bars. They were tap rooms. You may. I know Frankie knows what a tap room is. See, because you bought the others, you know, but you won't admit it, you know. And everybody knew everybody. It was the neighborhood tap room. I mean, that's just where you went. Everybody knew everybody. And it was just, and people didn't come in. When a new person would move into the neighborhood, they didn't come in going. See, they had just moved into the neighborhood, so then it became their tap room. Once you know Jesus, this is your tap room. What do you mean a tap room? Well, in Acts it says, how are they drunk this early in the morning? Yeah, where have they been? To the tap room. Yeah, drunk with the Spirit. Yeah. And it says here, therefore, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, he has opened for us through the curtain that is his flesh. Think about that. He opened the veil, but more than that, he opened the doors. Jesus is coming, people. Jesus is coming, and I'm telling you right now, this is on tape. So if this is in history. Before we meet again, we need the words to He is my sunshine up on the screen. All right. Now you have 2 weeks to do it. Now, here's the way it works. When I was in college, I feel sorry for Kay because I would always wait till the last day to write all my papers. You know, because what if I died? I would have done all that work for nothing. You know? So I told my revelation professor, I said, Dr. Bennett. I said, how's it going? He said, oh, good, good. He said, by the way, how's your paper coming? I said, well, you know, I always wait till the last minute because, Dr. Bennett, what if I die before it's due? Then I've done all that work for nothing. He said, let me tell you something. He said, if you die before it's due, when you come up resurrection morning, you better be holding that paper. Jay, 2 weeks. That means it better be done beforehand. Because should something happen to you resurrection morning, we're going to say, that was a great job, Jay. You already had it ready to go. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah. This is saying, people, the way has been opened. Not just the veil, but the doors of that temple. We're the ones who kept the doors closed. We're the ones. Lucifer's the one still trying to close the door and tell people, you can't go in there. What will people think? You can't go in there dressed like that. Back in the 20s, coffee was a nickel. And my dad said, he went up to somebody and said, can I have $5 for a cup of coffee? And they said, $5 for a cup of coffee? He said, well, you don't expect me to go in there dressed like this, do you? Isn't that what we do with church? I don't expect you to come in dressed like that. I mean, come on. Flip-flops. And you think God's going to hear prayers? Flip-flop prayers? No, flip-flops are feet. Our prayers are not flip-flops. Because we know we come with boldness. We know when we ask, he hears. We know that we can't, and we know that he can, and we know that he will through us. I think there's a song out now that says, God has a million, million doors for the world to walk through. One of those doors is you. Think about it, people. I know the veil's been rent, but if you can't get to it, if it weren't for Christians, there'd be a lot more Christians. You can't sing that song here. At Rachel's funeral, I said this, Wendell, because one of your songs, I had been listening to some of Wendell's songs, and when Rachel came in to see me that day, and she went, Pastor Charlie, I mean, I've been able to sleep, I have peace. And as she was walking out, here's what I heard. I don't know what she heard. Here's what I heard. I'll bet you'd say, what could make her feel that way? My God, my God, my God. I'm thinking to myself, only my God can do that. Yeah. Boldly. I expect it to happen, not because of who I am, but because of whose I am and who he is. And there is nothing. I believe I just heard somebody say, chop away at that doubting tree. I feel like a kid on a swing. I can do almost. No, not almost. I can do anything. The veil was rent. The doors were open. Are you? Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about this, the hardest time to open the door is for people we know and love. We expect more of them. But all you expect, Father, is to be open. Just as the song says, let them see Jesus in me. Oh, Father, time is short. Your son is coming. Gabriel has already gone to the music building, checked out the trumpet, and is tuning it up. We're that close. We're that close. People around the world are already hearing trumpets. Father, you gave Kay and I the privilege of hearing those trumpets one night. Oh, Father, we know you're about to come. We know the time is short. Let us stay open so that people, Father, not so that they can get to our church, but so they can get to your cross. So they can get to the healing power of Jesus. So that they can get and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Father, forgive us for all those worldly standards we put up. And Father, on those days when we don't feel like opening up to family, friends, people who aren't like us, if you must do it like you did in the temple, send your angels to open the doors. Move us out of the way so that they can get through to the veil. Accomplish it, Father. Because your word says you're not willing that any should be lost. Accomplish it, Father. Because you want everyone to see what an awesome, loving, caring, compassionate God you are. Especially now, Father, in this country, when people are blinded with rage, let us be the door. Because, Father, it's not a hate problem, it's a heart problem. And you said, I will take out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. You said, let the mind of Jesus be in us. You said that we may be one the way you and your son were one. Oh, Father, accomplish that so that we can be an open door. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.